We'd like to thank our sponsor, SLC Guitar, for another sweet guitar riff. Welcome to another episode of Build with Breen Holmes, where we talk all things construction, business management, and just have a good old time behind the microphone.
But that's only when I'm using my profession to what I'm at. And same with all the other guys, you know? And so maybe that's the clear cut. Is like, I don't expect anything unless I'm asked to do work under my professional knowledge. I don't want to get paid for it.
Do your clients ask that question? Are you getting a kickback from this?
No, I don't think we ever had that.
They don't even question it.
Yeah. You know,
that's huge.
So
that's pretty cool.
But yeah, again, I think that, we all should get paid for the work that we do. Mm-hmm. I had a good friend of mine call today, mm-hmm. and say, hey, we're thinking about doing a remodel. And I just happened to notice on your Instagram,
there you go,
that you did this really, really cool thing and we want to emulate it. And I'm like, you're a good friend. And it took you noticing that on my Instagram.
Right.
Yeah, you a-hole.
Thank you. Thank you. But.
But I was like, Charity's going to love it. Right. So, yeah. But give her the applause. The interesting part is he said, hey, we've got such a good friendship. It is, you need to be honest with me. Like, if this doesn't fit your glove,
yeah,
tell me, because we're not doing it. Right. And so like, I feel like my response back to him was like, listen, at the end of the day, the friendship can benefit in certain ways, but you're going to hire me, number one, because we have a friendship, but two, it's because that friendship's built trust. You know, I'm going to communicate with you. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm good at my job.
Right.
It does me a disservice to like give you a discount and then put you on the back burner and be like, yeah, get to him when we can. I'm just helping a buddy out.
Yeah.
Like, you should hire your friends because you know you trust them, you know they're good at what they do, mm-hmm. and you want to make sure they're compensated for it.
Right.
Right. You know, so at the end of the day, I told them flat out, like, yeah, we should charge our compensation to provide you the services that we are really, really, really good at. Mm-hmm. And there's huge value in doing that. And you'll get the added benefit of, you know me, which means you can trust me and you know I'm going to communicate with you.
Right.
That's the big win, you know? And the same thing, when I go to use your services, that's what I expect.
Right.
I don't expect it for free. You know, and I think that most clients understand that. And that's probably why they don't ask, like, you getting a kickback on this, you know? So,
which is huge.
Yeah. We back on record.
Hey, shout out.
I'm sitting here getting this text thread of all my buddies.
Okay.
Shout out to
Builder 20.
No. Builder 20 group. I just probably send back a picture of the finger. I got all my buddies texting a thread of Grandpa Davey that just became his grandpa tonight for the first time.
What?
One of my good homies just had their first grandbaby. Oh. Just barely.
Just now.
Well, I mean, yeah, his daughter.
He didn't have it.
He just sent out a picture, but it was today.
Brandon, okay. Let me tell you how this works.
I was going to say, like, I think that's pretty big news.
Talk about, he became a grandpa today.
Got it.
It's huge news. He's like, I swear, him and his wife were made to be grandma and grandpa.
Nice.
And like, he's been so stoked about it. In fact, he's one of the guys I'm going fishing with in a couple of weeks down in Cabo.
Nice.
Doing some rooster fishing.
Rooster.
It'll be a good time.
Rooster fishing.
And we're like, dude, this is like grandpa moon. Like, this is like your baby moon, but grandpa moon. He's like, man, I just want to go do this after I have the baby. So congrats on him for having it right before we head out fishing for a week.
Can't beat it. I like it.
I know, right?
So I got a question for you. Actually, Charity has a question for you.
Oh, I'm glad you now speak for Charity.
I do. She has
side note.
So
this is the tangents we go.
Miss Charity has the question of, what would you say the future of construction is?
Oh man, if you're hammering on a wall.
Yeah, that's pretty loud.
Dun, 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 dun.
That sounds like my college dorm room.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa.
And you said your college
Damn.
Dorm
room.
You sure did. You sure did.
That will be cut.
No, it will not. It is actually staying in there on that.
Man.
I mean, how does Breen Holmes feel like that? Does that need to stay?
Can we Instagram handle along?
No, you could totally do that. You said my college dorm room.
It just came.
You know, the scare too is we have like, we probably have enough listeners to have to go to a second hand. So you're screwed.
We're going
to
be like, man, it's getting juicy.
Your career is over.
It's getting juicy now.
Good. Well, the future. The future.
And what's really weird is she went to an all-girls college.
Oh, that's God. What I heard. No. That's no. what I heard.
Yeah, no. But you know, who knows?
Got her.
I'm open. Okay.
Man, the future building. Are we talking like growth in, let's call it technology and AI, or like, are we talking like what needs to, I mean, man, there's so many.
There's so much. Yeah. This. All of it. Okay. So let's do it this way. Technology.
Technology. Yeah. Okay. Technology, I believe, is a way to make us more efficient, more effective, but I do not believe that that is the save to fix the affordability crisis or the attainability crisis.
Okay.
I don't think that suddenly machines come in and replace labor and make it cheaper for us to build. I mean, right now we're already doing amazing things with technology. You know, you can basically 3D print a house, okay. whether it's concrete, what, you know, the materials you're using in there. They've got virtual reality that I can throw on some goggles and I can now see the mechanicals of everything that's run in the house.
Yep.
You know, so I can walk in at a framing stage and say, wait a minute, that beam's in the wrong spot, or here's where my drop's going to be, or this is where my main plumbing comes across. And here's what, like, there's amazing things that we can do that make it more efficient and effective to build a better product.
Right.
But I don't believe that that's currently less expensive.
Okay.
And I don't think that that changes in the near future.
Okay.
Right. So I think as we're talking technology, there's a ton of technology that's already in place. We talk about construction management software that, you know, that I use. That's huge. That's AI, and that's technology that really is making my process and my system better communication, more efficient, more effective, but it doesn't necessarily make me cheaper as a builder, you know?
That's true.
I know that background's driving you nuts.
It's driving me insane right now.
That's cool. I can talk right over the top of it.
Yeah.
So I think we have some effect there. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not going to change in the future. Technology is going to continue to get better, but technology is expensive, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's going to replace jobs in construction, but there'll be jobs somewhere else. I've looked into some of that technology and development of what we can use. You know, I thought at one point in time, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that, you know, we would get to the point to where a machine, an excavator, is given the set of plot points that needs to dig.
Yeah.
Here's where it digs. Here's how deep.
Yep.
And I could just turn the machine on and let it dig all night. And suddenly the next morning, I've got this perfectly excavated hole ready to go. That's better than the human sitting in there during operational hours. Mm-hmm. We're far from there. We have a machine that can do that, but we're not to the point to where we can just let that happen.
Right.
You know, like if that's happening, next door neighbor all night long is going to throw a fit. Right. So like there are certain things that we just can't get over the hump.
Right.
There's a lot of cool technology, 3D printing of concrete. I've looked into it. I thought for a while, man, I want to be the first custom home builder in Utah that does that. I've talked to 3 different companies, and what it would require for me to over X the hole, over dig the hole, so I can actually put the machine in there to print, makes zero sense. The cost and the effectivity has no ability to make it any cheaper.
Right. It's not worth it.
So cool.
Right.
But what does it do for me?
Right.
Right.
The juice isn't worth the squeeze on it.
Yeah. You know, so we're getting there. But I don't see that being in like the near future, you know? And then I, that's where I'm like, man, what way do we even go with this? Because I think that the crisis we're having, if we're talking like construction, is affordability.
Okay. Wait.
And attainability.
Okay. Wait. So I'm going to stop you and then I'm going to say, Adam, tell us what the future of affordable housing is. Go.
Perfect. The future of affordable housing. I believe it's multifold. We sit here and we look at how can we make homes less expensive, right? And contractors, we blame government entities. They need to charge less. They need to require less. They need to let us build more effectively, more efficiently with less fees. That's not the solve. That may drop a little bit. We come after the National Board of Realtors and we try to cut out commissions. That's maybe we lower some commissions, but that doesn't solve it. Like if you drop $10,000 off an agent commission, does it really make housing more affordable? Like how many more people does that get in a house?
Right.
We need to drop like 30% of the cost of a standard home right now to like get it. So like there's little bits and pieces of the pie, but like we've got to pay more wages. Like wages have got to increase. I don't know how to solve that problem. I'm not saying that's what we do. Just everyone start paying $20 an hour. Like, no. But we do have to find a way to increase wages, number right. one. And number two, we have to find a way to decrease the cost of construction, whatever that brings into it. it's damn near impossible to decrease the sticks and bricks and labor that goes into a job. Mm-hmm. Because aren't we just talking about increasing the wages of all those people? Because those are the people that are paid too little. It's like, we can't increase those and somehow suddenly decrease the cost of labor and material going into a house. You know, so then you go, okay, how do you get less expensive in land development and less expensive in, when I'm saying like land development, I'm talking the amount of time, the fees that it costs to go into, the requirements that it go in. That's all like government. Mm-hmm. The number of times that changes hands, because now you have every time it's sailing and changing hands, people are putting a markup on it. Now let's forget all of that for 2 seconds. Does any of that matter if people are still willing to pay supply and demand? Yeah. Like, isn't that basic economics of supply and demand? It's like, we need an excess of supply so the demand isn't so heavy so that you can't drive up those prices. Because even if you come in and you say, okay, city, you saved me $10,000 on the cost of one single family house to build. Do you think I'm going to sell that for $10,000 less if someone's willing to pay $10,000 more?
Right.
So that's where the cities come back. And they're like, no, because contractors are just going to line their pockets better. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's not just like, this is the fix. This is the fix. Like, there's so many different things that come into play. I've got some kind of wild ideas and I'll kind of briefly touch on them. We're not going to go into depth detail of some of them because there are some business practices and potential concepts I'm working on.
Okay.
But one would be divided ownership or partial ownership for a homeowner to come in and buy. So we always talk about like, okay, you take 1 acre parcel of land. How do you make it less expensive? You cut it in half. Mm-hmm. How do you make it less expensive? You cut it in half. Mm-hmm. Well, we get to the point where all of a sudden we're now down to like a 0.001, you know, 0.1 of an acre, so to speak. Right. And you go, okay, now that's affordable, but is it big enough to build a home? We're going to build micro homes.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like we can't live in smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller homes and own less and less and less property. So how do we come in and create some sort of efficiency to where you're a small owner of the home that you live in as a private party and you have somebody else that comes in and backs the ownership or the purchase of that house. So now let's say the average home in Utah, I think right now was $560,000, somewhere around there, if I'm saying right. In the Salt Lake Valley, if I can only afford $300,000, how can I come in and get a loan for $300,000? And who can provide me the extra $300,000 to buy that house?
Yeah.
And how can we own 50-50? So now I just own a small part of the house that I live in, but I own and control that.
Hmm.
So it's a divided ownership. And there's already programs in place that do that. You're thinking like, oh yeah, we traditionally get a loan. I can't get more of a loan.
Yeah.
But I could bring in a partner that buys it with me, an equity partner of some sort. You know, and we're already talking about all these big REIT funds that come in and buy up all of our real estate.
Yeah.
And then they rent it back out to everybody. We're getting pretty close to the government saying you are no longer allowed to do that. We're not going to let that happen anymore. We're not going to allow these huge funds to come in and buy all the homes because the homeowners need to buy the homes.
Right.
How can we marry those two together? How can you come in and say, big REIT fund, come in and buy up as much as you want? But as government, we're going to force you to have to allow these people to come in and buy at a small ownership share and act as if they own the home.
That's a good idea, actually.
So that's one thought. Another thought is we as Americans, the American dream is start your own business, sub it all out, make money. It's in theory what I do, right? Yeah. So how do we start cutting out a lot of that middleman? And I would say Uber's done it, where they just say, okay, we're no longer hiring a taxi that has an employee and has all this markup and mm-hmm. so pays. No, this person that owns this car drives me to where I want to go. And there's a nice little app that pays them and allows me to pay them.
Right.
You know, so this third party that just comes in and removes the middleman. It's segmented work. And I think we're going to see a lot more industries going into segmented work where you are your own individual boss and employee that uses a third party app to get work and you go do the work. And I no longer have to pay outrageous rates for employees to show up at my job. Mm. So a real world example, let's take an electrician, for example. He's probably paying his guys somewhere on average around $30 an hour. I'm most likely getting billed somewhere around $95 an hour. What's the justification for that $60 in difference per hour? What would you say? Government, taxes, overhead, liability, plus I got to make a little bit for dealing with all that.
Right. Okay.
That's what it all is. Yeah. So he has to add 2/3 back into that rate. So it goes from $30 to $95 an hour, what he's charging me. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, how much of that is real? How much of that could I cut out? So let's say if I just remove all that, I remove all that overhead expense because that employee is still paying taxes on the dollars that he earns. So let's just say I cut out the fact that he doesn't have the liability of a boss managing him. He doesn't have all the overhead of a boss managing him. And I can directly pay that employee somehow, somewhere. Mm-hmm. I may be able to pay him $50 or $60 an hour. I still get a rate cut and he still gets a pay boost. That's what Uber does.
Right.
Right. So how do we Ubertize the labor in my industry? We pay the laborers more so they can afford
right.
the step up in cost of house. There's a way to do it, right?
Has to be.
You know, so I do think that there's so many hats that you can throw in. It's like, eh, okay, I'm not going to get too into the weeds of this. But if you can find ways to eat down the cost of construction, and maybe it is the rates that it costs to sell and transfer ownership. Maybe it is some of the government fees. Maybe it is, you know, some of the regulation that's put on. Maybe it is a shared ownership in how you buy that property. All those things bring this cost down here. And then you take the individual that's buying it and you find ways to increase his wages mm-hmm. by trying to wipe out some of the middleman activity of the American dream, so to speak, and have a direct you know, business relationship with that individual.
Right.
They're paid a little bit more. You know, I think you find a spot where they're making a little more, the cost of housing come down. Maybe there's some technology in there, you know, with app-driven industries that
helps with that.
Important. Yeah. Such I don't see it happening in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Or at least in my, let's call it my career time.
Right.
You know, but that is a lot of what I'm working on for, let's call it my community, so to speak, what I believe in. Yeah. And what does that have to do with building custom houses for clients? Nothing.
Right.
You know, we've talked about this so many times before, like it's my passion.
Right.
You know, I love it. And I love kind of having a front row seat to see this happen and smart people at work.
We should do a podcast over each one of those mm-hmm. individually and just get like deep
yeah.
into it.
Yeah.
And then just go from there with it.
Yeah.
I bet you could probably, with all of our six listeners,
yeah.
I bet you could probably get some pretty good.
Yeah. It's some cool stuff. I mean, realistically, like if you go back to like Uber.
He did fail.
What's that?
He did collapse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the problem.
Make
like
some mistakes.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Totally. Like Lyft, you know, there's so many industries that you're starting to see where it's like this direct. You use the services you have and the labor you're willing to put in. But what's the advantage to that, right? Like we say, what is the advantage to the individual that gets to do it?
Yeah.
Well, do they control their life?
Yeah.
Like if they want to drive Uber, they turn on Uber. Mm-hmm. They want to go, I mean, there's so many more industries that have the same kind of like common turn on and work, turn off and don't work. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether I'm in Utah, whether I'm in California, whether I'm in New York, I can turn on and work, I can turn off and not work. I want to work at midnight, turn on and work. I right. work at 7 a.m., turn on work. I don't want to work because I'm going to college, turn it off. So like you look at what the Uber has allowed a driver to do, and it suddenly brought the new work industry to, at a younger age, the college folk that could only work part-time. So yeah. no one's going to hire them,
yeah.
but they can work part-time and make an income. They're there. And then the retired folk that say, hey, I can no longer work full-time, but I can work part-time when it's convenient for me. Mm-hmm. You've brought them back into the industry. So you bring in more workforce. You know, you're having direct contact with the person driving that car. So you're willing to tip a little bit more. You enjoy that. You're almost willing to pay a fair rate, but you don't feel like you're just paying the man, so to speak, right. paying somebody. Mm-hmm. So I just think that there's a lot of ways that is the direction of workforce. I think you're going to get more people that say, I don't just work a career in this. You're going to get more people that say, I drive Uber. I work in construction. I do deliveries mm-hmm. and I just have all these different ways to work. And today this is what I feel like doing. It's nice outside. I don't want to go drive Uber. I want to work outside.
I want to hang out.
It's ski season. I right. want to go work on the hill.
Right.
It's summer season. I want to work on the lake, you know? And I think you're going to get more and more and more people that want to do that because they want to be in control of their own lives and their own schedule.
Exactly.
You know? That's the key word there.
Great. Yeah. We're definitely going to do.
So like we could dive down that. And I do yeah. think when you start diving down that and you go, oh, people can make more money doing that. They really can. Most of our generations that are older than that generation is like, yeah, they don't want to work. But then we quickly follow it up with like, they want to work when they want well, to
they
work.
Want to work. Yeah.
They want to be able to control their own schedule. And so do I. Mm-hmm. Like we're all getting there. You know, so it would be fun to actually get, you talk to almost any Gen Zer, I think it's Gen Z. I want to say Gen Y, but I believe it's Gen Z. You talk to any of them, most of them will have two or three or four different jobs right now.
Yeah.
And
but
it's
they're
like,
not committed.
Yeah.
My kids
yeah.
are not committed.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I can work 2 hours here, then I can turn yeah. it off, and then I will do something.
True.
Like, well, you don't have money because you don't
yeah.
have work.
Yeah, very true.
Fault.
Yep. And there is, like, I hate to totally defend all of them, but I will oftentimes step in and defend them because a lot of them actually are working in so many different ways and capacities. Right. Okay, right?
No. I got to where I am because I worked hard. Mm-hmm. And they have to work like they used to.
Okay, so I just hired a new admin assistant. Just started on Monday.
I was going to talk to you about that. Yeah.
So just barely. She's training right now. Younger Gen Y or Gen Z or whatever we're talking about here. One of the big reasons she wanted to come work with us was her ability to manage her own schedule. And it's not, okay, I can work remotely. I was like, no, I want ass in seat X amount of hours a week, but I'm willing to work with you on when those are. She's got school. She's got another business. She's got family she likes to hang out with. And I was like, I want you to have the ability, if it's a sunny day, like today was beautiful, I want you to have the ability to be like, hey, I got my work done. I'm out of here. It's 2:00. I want you to have that ability, but I also want you to have the understanding that you need to get your job done to check in.
Right.
And I feel like that's it takes the right personality, right? So I can't just blanket state everybody, but I do think that is the personality and what a lot of these younger generations are looking for. And if I roll in, I'm like, nope, I want you here 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and you get 2 weeks paid vacation. Most of them right now will give you the finger.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out on that. Thank you, but no thanks.
Yeah, right. So it's just mulling through. And here's what's funny is I found myself as I'm doing the interview process to hire this person, because we went through my interview process, even for an admin assistant, right? Yeah. Did the personality test and the whole shebang. I find myself saying, that's how I live my life. Now, I think I'm owed it because I'm a business owner and because I've worked my ass off and I've bootstrapped my way to get there. So I'm owed it. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to answer to anybody.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, we all want a balanced life. And we all want to have the ability to stretch and work and do what we want to do and spend some time to, whether it's go get our hair and nails done or go grab lunch with a friend or on a beautiful day that we're pissed off and we need a little bit of light in our life, go outside. Right. We all want that. We're realizing we all need that. You know, so like I am a huge advocate of it. But to your point, I think it is the people that at some point are going to have to realize that the government isn't going to pay for them to live their life.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think you could categorize just about anybody and everybody in that. I had a friend yesterday. Now I'm going on and on and on. My mind does this, right? This was my mind today. Holy cow, just stop. Damn, it's 8:52. I had a friend yesterday send me a text. He's a life coach. And he in confidentiality, sent me a text from a friend of his that was just, it was just like a life-ending text. Like, man, my life is in the dumps. I have no money. I'm jealous of all my friends that they have money. They've been successful. I've worked my ass off for 50 years and I have nothing to show for it. My health is in the shitter. Mm. I've thought about ending my life. I'm in depression, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I read through it and I was like, this person mentioned he has a spouse and kids and a family and has a roof over his head. And I was like, man, but the tone of this is, I don't have money, therefore my life sucks. Right. And I've thought about ending it. And I'm like, man, he needs to be reminded he's got a family and a spouse that loves him and a roof over his head and does have a job and does wake up and breathe air. Like, at some point, you're not owed anything in life. You're not owed money, but you actually have a pretty damn good life.
Right.
And yet you're that low.
Right.
You know, so I don't think it's just that younger generation that just thinks they're owed something. I think that's my point of what I'm getting at. I think there's way more people out there that think they're owed. And that's the mentality I think we all fight. And it feels like that younger generation more often than not feels like they should just be handed. But it's because we're all getting older and we're like, we went to school uphill both ways in snow. We had to work our asses off. I had to bootstrap everything I made. Cool. My parents said the same thing.
And your ass.
They took a study. I think we've talked about this before. There was a study. I'd have to find it. I think the National Association of Home Builders did it. Somebody went back and pulled a study of articles that were posted in the news somewhere in the U.S. that reflected something to be said of the idea of the new generation isn't willing to work. And it went all the way back to like the 1840s that the generation said, this new generation doesn't want to work. It's like every generation says that about the generation below. Like, no one wants to work.
That's what it is.